15 years after my first husband went away from our family, I married Byron Marsh, and unfortunately, 6 years later, we learned he had multiple myeloma, which is an incurable cancer, and he died 5 years later. Byron's dream. It's 50 years ago, and you are working on the tractor near the barn. You think your brother, Homer, is nearby. You watch the plane fly in from the northeast, low over Lake Erie, a swastika black across its side. The bomb drops. You see it clearly, more real than this world. You dive into the ditch as the explosion breaks. When you raise your head again, the shed and barn are blown away. The tractors and trucks mangled. The plane circles and returns. You play dead. The next day, the plane makes a second run and bombs the house right through the heart of it. This is Ohio, for God's sake, where no enemy has flown before. I lean close as you tell me this dream. Your back is slippery with sweat. This is another poem relating to Byron. September on Blue Mountain. Wasn't it a perfect Sunday? You mowed our lawn, long, sloping lawn. Sweat poured off you in rivulets onto the arm of your chair. I baked steamy pies with leftover apples and grapes, not to waste them. One would have thought we were leftovers too. But at 69, you are strong. So am I, learning to live on a mountain close to snakes and hawks, inside clouds and freezing rain. Here behind the next log, copperheads lurk in the undergrowth, but you in high boots are prepared with your stick. Groceries run out. I gather up leftovers. Nothing is wasted. Not all apples or grapes. Not your first love or mine. Not divorces or deaths. They all come home to us daily in early morning stillness through the forest, inside mist and clouds hanging over our mountain. Thank you. Doe in August. In fall and in winter, she arrives in our yard alone, limping on her broken leg. She holds her head high. Last September, she stood by our stone wall to feast on purple impatiens. I let her eat all she wanted. Today, I mistook her for one of the others, shooed her away before I noticed the limp. She hobbled away, grabbing a mouthful of red geraniums. This poem refers to the diaries of Etty Hillesum, a young Jewish woman who lived in Amsterdam during World War II. She died on November 30th, 1943. Train to Auschwitz. Your parents and brother were on car number one. No one expected you'd be sent too, not yet. A volunteer, you'd chosen to go to Westerbork with trapped Jews. No one dragged you. You worked at the hospital, helped where you could. Known for your luminous smile and strength amid suffering, you wanted to help to the last. But when they placed you on the list, you cheerfully packed your Bible, Tolstoy, essentials, walked to the train platform, rushed to check your friend in number 14. But they just released her. Too late to join family, you entered car number 12. You and your family perished at Auschwitz. Diaries and letters attest to your love of people and God. The postcard you flung from the train, sent out by the farmer who found it, proclaims, "We have left the camp singing." Thank you. Shoreline. A summer wave spreads seashells and shark's teeth, polished smooth, brown clumps of ragged seaweed. For my husband, Walter Noel. Ordinary tasks. I wake up early. Forget to turn off the alarm again when I get up. It wakes you. You are angry. I promise next time I'll remember. I drift to the kitchen to fix your cup of tea. A half spoon of sugar. A little milk. Orange juice. Swedish crisp bread spread with butter the way you like it. I don't forget the pills. I place them in the plastic dish as you requested. Set it on that tray depicting stations of the London Underground from 30 years ago, a souvenir I brought to our marriage from a long-departed love. You've always liked the tray, reminder of your England days. I recall how we met after our spouses died. Joy flew back into our lives like hummingbirds in spring. My daughter told me, "Mom, you're acting like a teen." I bring your breakfast with the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette. I've tossed away the sports you never read, but never toss Sudoku. You always solve it. Chicken killers. Bradley in the poem is my brother who died a long time ago. Chicken killers. My father was a gentle man. During World War II, in the era of Victory Gardens, he killed his first chicken. Deferred by the draft, he set 1,000 peeping chicks under brooders for Brad and me to feed. When they were ready for market, he carried his axe to the sawed-off stump of the old tree. Inside our house, I couldn't hear the piercing shrieks. I saw my father's ashen face when he returned with bloodied hands. Later, I watched chickens flailing headless in our yard, beating frantic wings and stumbling. Dead birds were drained of blood and dipped in steaming water. We pulled dripping feathers out by handfuls. On the long picnic table, my brother and I plucked pin feathers with tweezers, tossed pale bodies into buckets to be gutted. This is my last poem. Thank you, but I don't want to talk about lockdowns of the heart or planetary speculations or how pit bulls, if treated well, can be trustworthy. I prefer instead to concentrate on tiny hummingbirds who fly vast distances to gather rare nectars in order to survive. How their vari-colored feathers, blues and greens, or ruby throats gleam in the sun, attracting mates or frightening rivals. How fiercely they fight for territory and lovers. Thank you. Yes. Thank you. I'm very happy to introduce Michelle Stoner next.